Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to another Deserted Island Dish. Here we are again live on a Wednesday night in sunny Sheffield. It's been another hot week here in Sheffield. So tonight I do have a guest. I'm very much looking forward to hearing about. It's Conor McGowan, who is the current landlord proprietor of the wonderful Dog and Partridge pub here in Sheffield. So good evening, Conor, how are you doing?
How's it going, Ben? I'm great, thanks. Yeah, smashing, lovely to be here.
Good. So people haven't heard us before, it's Deserted Island Dish. So what we do, we've got an hour to hear about Conor's life. His life in growing up in Ireland, how he got to Sheffield and what life's like here in Sheffield. And he's going to punctuate these stories with lovely songs that he's picked for me already and I've got ready to play here. So to start with, Conor, let's hear about your early life. So you're born in Dublin, 1974.
That's right, yeah, I was indeed.
But you weren't in Dublin long, were you? So do you remember much about Dublin?
Not a huge amount. I grew up first early years in a place called Malahide. It's a sort of a suburb on the north of the city. When I was about 4.5-ish years old, just before I started primary school, really, we moved out to Gormanstown in County Meath.
Okay, why was that?
Well, I think it was just as convenient for my dad commuting to work, but it was also a more sort of away from the city, if you like, you know.
Okay.
So it was at the countryside. Nice so place to raise a family, you know.
So yeah, so
I was the first child and that. So
you're the eldest?
I'm the eldest of four, yeah.
So your dad, and your mum, I presume, kind of said...
And
your
mum as well, yeah.
Yeah, she was... Hey, mum. So they said, I want a bit of a better life for my kids and take them away from that.
Yeah, just a nicer place to raise kids, yeah.
So is it Meath? I mean, it's like two counties up, isn't it?
No, it's next one. The Dublin border, funnily enough, was a little river that was in our backyard.
So that's the border. So you're really close then to Dublin, and you could get...
Yeah. It was easy for my dad commuting to work. My dad was an accountant.
Right.
And it was near everything, but it was, at the same time, it was out in the fresh air, you know, at the countryside. So
very nice, yeah.
Best of both worlds, really.
Yeah, and so the place, what's it called, sorry, the town?
Gormanstown.
And how big a place?
Oh, it's only a little village when we moved there. Now it's the village up the road called Stamullen. The two of them have kind of merged into like a township now because there's been, as the population in Dublin grows and people spread out or whatever, you know. So it's a much bigger, busier place now.
My dad was a visionary. So your first song is, you said that kind of reminds you of your early childhood. So when you picked the song and I saw this one, I thought, oh, his dad must be really cool, liking this this song.
And my dad is really cool, but he doesn't like the song.
Come on, tell us about it then.
It was a song that I heard on the radio not long after we'd moved to Gormanstown. And I was just taken away by the cacophony of the sound of it. I'd never heard anything like it before. It just blew me away. And to be honest, I didn't think much of the band for a long time after that, because I was only young. I was only 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But then again, I rediscovered them again in my teenage years and later on. They're still one of my favourite bands now, you know.
And too. So do you want to tell us what it is?
Yeah, it's Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd.
Okay, here we go.
Down, I hear you breathing down.
song choice there, Connor. That's brilliant.
Bit of a long one, wasn't it?
That's great. No, brilliant. I think you have to play it all. Although we're just talking over Dave Gilmore, he won't mind, will he?
No. Yeah,
it's
not precious now, Dave.
But I was saying I was surprised it was like something as like one of your earliest memories and something you got hooked onto was Pink Floyd.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't get hooked onto Pink Floyd, to be fair, back in those days. I just heard this song and the Brick in the Wall that came out a similar sort of time.
Same time, yes.
And I just remember they just made an impact on my head, if you like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, when I was growing up at home, the house was always full of music. My mum's a music teacher, you know, and a really good one as well. And yeah, and she does testing and all this. But yeah, so the house was always full of music. And my dad's always been passionate about music too. The radio was always on, or there was Beethoven's Greatest Hits playing in the background, or 10cc, or whatever it may be. Do you know what I mean? So there was always music going on.
Did you try and play anything yourself, or do you play anything yourself?
I tried playing the piano for a bit, but it didn't stick.
Okay.
But my love for music's always been there, you know, so my life's always been kind of punctuated by music.
So was it difficult trying to pick, we've got seven songs we've got, which I don't know if we'll get through them all, but was that a tough thing to do for you?
Very tough, yeah. I mean, it could have been 700 songs easily, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you've got like a lot of music's important to you then.
Very much so.
Big array there, yeah. So, we're talking about your life as well. So really, you've just moved up to Meath then. So you've just come out of Dublin, started primary school. But I suppose your parents probably thought that's a good time to move, isn't it? Because you've not kind of been to another school.
And there was only me then, you know. I mean, a few years later, I was obviously followed by my brother and my two sisters. Oh, my brother was there. He moved to...
Yeah, so he's...
Sorry, Owen, I forgot about you. he moved to Gormiston as well, but he was younger than me, so he hadn't started school either. I was just about to start that following September, so...
Yeah, good timing, yeah. So what's the age range of the siblings?
So Owen was born in 76.
Right.
And I was in 74. So he's like 18 months behind-ish.
Yeah.
And then Miriam, the eldest of my two sisters, she was born in 1980. And then Claire was 18 months later in 82.
So you're growing up in this relatively small town, or a definitely small town. Do you have like a community there, neighbours, or was you like...
There were neighbours, yeah. I mean, there was a local football club and Gaelic football, obviously.
Gaelic, yeah.
But it was the sort of... We'd walk to... As young kids, we'd walk to school every day, no dangers at all, you know what I mean? That sort of thing.
And
picking blackberries on the way. After school, we'd walk down to the beach and have a run, assuming the weather was half decent.
Yeah.
Or we'd cycle down to the beach or cycle to school, whatever. But it was a lot of outdoors, you know what I mean?
Yeah, lovely.
We'd spend the summer holidays then baling hay with local farmers or milking cows and... herding cattle and that sort of thing, you know. The outdoors life was good, yeah.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
So then I suppose the next thing that happened, you go to a secondary school there, you go to high school?
Yeah, I did indeed, yeah. Down, a place called Gormiston College, just down the road actually from where I grew up, so it was only...
It was handy, yeah.
Yeah, it was a 20-minute walk down the road. No.
And is there many kids in that school? Is it a big place?
It's big, big-ish. How many was that? I don't know, by UK standards it's probably tiny. It's 500 kids in it, I think.
Yeah, it's enough.
So 100 per year sort of thing, you know.
It's enough. And then, school all good? Did you do sport? Or?
I did loads of sports in school, yeah. We were lucky, the school had all sorts. It had football pitches and it had athletics tracks and there was a swimming pool and basketball courts, badminton and tennis courts, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The table tennis tables, loads. There was always loads of activities to do. Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was really good.
And so after school, let's play your next song yet, because that's cool, more about kind of your childhood years. So you picked Black Velvet Band, Dubliners.
I did. And my early memories of this one is hearing my dad singing it in the shower. that was my first encounter with the Dubliners and all that sort of music. So,
okay, let's give this one a go. Black Velvet Band, the Dubliners.
Apprenticed to trade I was bound, and many an hour sweet happiness have I spent in that neat little town. A sad misfortune came over me, which caused me to stray from the land, far away from me friends and relations, betrayed by the Black Velvet Band. Hurrah! I thought her the queen of the land. And her hair it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. I took a stroll down Broadway, meaning not long for to stay. When who should I meet but this pretty fair maid, come a traipsing along the highway. She was both fair and handsome, her neck it was just like a swan, and her hair it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. Her eyes they shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of the land, and her hair it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. I took a stroll with this pretty fair maid, and a gentleman passing us by. Well, I knew she meant the doing of him by the look in her roguish black eye. A gold watch she took from his pocket and placed it right into my hand. And the very first thing that I said was, "Fat cess to the black velvet band." Her eyes, they shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of the land. And her hair, it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. Before the judge and the jury, next morning I had to appear. The judge, he says to me, "Young man, your case it is proven clear. We'll give you 7 years penal servitude to be spent far away from the land, far away from your friends and relations, betrayed by the black velvet band." Her eyes, they shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of the land. And her hair, it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. So come all you jolly young fellows, a warning take by me. When you are out on the town, me lads, beware of the pretty colleens. They'll feed you with strong drink, me lads, till you are unable to stand. And the very first thing that you'll know is, you've landed in Van Diemen's land. Her eyes, they shone like diamonds, her neck, it was just like a swan, and her hair, it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band.
Hey, the Dubliners. Can't go wrong with the Dubliners, can you?
Luke Kelly, special guy.
We've had them a few times on the show. So, people joining us, it's Deserted Island Disc here live on Sheffield Live Wednesday night. And we've got my guest Connor here, who's just picked the Black Velvet Band, which reminds me of his dad singing in the shower. I think my sons might say something similar. I'll sing that to my sons when they're having a bath. I remember singing it. It's a great song. So we were talking about your life growing up in Meath.
Yeah.
Just tell us a bit more about the school. So you've seen it.
So yeah, so I mean, I was kind of fortunate, I suppose. There was a Franciscan boarding school at the end of the road, basically.
Okay.
And so, I mean, 85-90% of the students there were boarding students.
So they lived in, yeah?
Yeah, they lived in, yeah. I didn't live in. They had a certain, they let in a certain number of local lads as well,
yeah,
every year, you know. Just to, I suppose, tick a box,
yeah, yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, it worked out grand. So it meant I'd access to this great school with all the great sports facilities and everything else there, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to stay over. I didn't get home till 10 o'clock at night, which was a bit of a
why is that then? Sorry,
well, because still... once you do, you finish your lessons at 3:30 in the afternoon or whatever, and then go and play sports for a few hours, then you go and have your dinner. And
right.
And then there'll be study period until 10 o'clock at night.
So you stay there,
so
studying
with
the others.
Do your revision, do all that sort of thing. Yeah. Have these massive big study halls and there'll be all the students, we just sat there at the desks.
So did people pay to go there? Or is it like
they
the
did,
English system?
They did.
Yeah, so
it's they, like, they yeah. did, yeah. The local lads didn't have to pay anywhere near as much, thankfully.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully for me, that.
Yeah. do you keep in touch with people from school? Or?
Yeah, a few of them I do, yeah, from time to time. But, I mean, a lot of them are kind of spread out because they're from all over the country as
they
well.
They were to start with as well, so yeah.
Exactly,
yeah,
so, you know, they kind of spread out and go back and do whatever they're doing after.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good times in school there. Yeah, I made some good friends. There was a lot. The sports facilities were great there, you know. That was the main thing really.
Did you ever try and play the Gaelic football over here?
No, I've never played it over here. I didn't, to be honest, when I first came to Sheffield, though, I wasn't really aware of
no,
the thriving
Irish community.
No, it
wasn't. Where did it happen? Well, yeah.
I don't think it existed at the time anyway. But yeah, so, I mean, I'm probably a bit old to play now.
You're retired now. Yeah. I don't think they'd say that. I think Michael...
I think the drum rings around me.
We're going to stick with your song still, because really, we kind of the song choices, your next song choice is still in that period of time. So I think just kind of explain again about your next song and how you got to like it. I suppose it's from your teenage years when you're discovering music, like
I was starting to kind of discover music from myself rather than from what I'd heard around me, and it was the first album I'd actually bought for myself with my own money.
Yeah.
This song is off it, and it was on cassette. I don't know if any of the listeners remember what cassettes were.
I think a few of my listeners will. Yeah,
but so it was from a band called Pixies. From the Debaser album. The song's called Debaser, from the Doolittle album.
Yeah, great. All right, let's play that one then.
Yeah.
That's Debase by the Pixies. Another great choice, Connor. Well done. Oh, I really like your music much. Choices. It's fantastic. Really good. Really good.
They're still touring.
Yeah, yeah, they're back again. And a lot of those bands, aren't they, from the 80s, 90s, keep coming back, don't they? Some of them are good. Pulp are back there, though, aren't they?
Pulp, yeah. I saw them a couple of years ago when they were in Sheffield. They're at the arena. They're playing Tramlines in a couple of weeks, too.
That's it. Yeah. Give them. I mean, not that they need a plug, do they?
They don't need a plug.
No. All right. So we're talking about you and your time growing up. So you were still kind of in your hometown.
Yeah.
Remind me what it's called again.
Gormiston.
Right,
Gormiston, County Meath. Yes. Yeah.
And so you did all right at school?
Yeah, I did very well in school, yeah. So, if you're asking me to remember the exact results I got.
No,
you're going to be a long time waiting for me to remember.
bit dull as well.
But I remember being happy with the results, and then I went on to...
Is there any like subjects where you're specifically good at? Or,
I was good at chemistry, physics, economics.
It's quite analytical and science.
Yeah, economics as well was good, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I went on to college. To third level, and I went to the Dublin Institute of Technology, which is it's a group of technical colleges scattered around the city centre in Dublin.
Okay.
So they specialise in engineering and various things like that. But the one I went to was the catering college.
Okay.
So I went there to study hotel and catering management.
Okay. But I suppose that's different from the sciences stuff.
It is, but
you just kind of felt...
Yeah, it just felt right for me, really. I mean, I'd worked in some hotels and things. I was going to say 15 or whatever.
I was going to say, so you had some like part-time jobs in hotels and where you lived in.
The industry just kind of bit me a bit, you know. And
yeah,
it's one of them. It's the sort of industry that you're either it suits you or it doesn't. You know what I mean? And it just kind of got under my skin a bit, and so I decided that's what I wanted to go and study and go and have a career in.
So you went to Dublin, which we learnt before is not that far away, is it? But do you live in Dublin?
Not for the first couple of years.
No, you
commuted. Yeah. I mean, I'd stay over with friends if there was nights out and that sort of thing.
But as you do, you know, plenty of people. Yeah.
It's a big city. You know, it takes a good few nights to find your way around it all properly and thoroughly investigate every nook and cranny of all the best bars. You know.
Yeah. So, what year is this roughly? Where did you go?
This would have been 92-ish. Yeah, 92.
92. All right. So yeah, it was a buzzing place. Back then, but I suppose it kind of during that period, it'd still be growing, wouldn't it?
It was growing, yeah. I mean, the immigration hadn't really, it had only really just started around that sort of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The population hadn't exploded to the same extent where it is now.
Yeah, but you'd not really had the Celtic Tiger thing. That was
that was 5 or 6 years later.
Yeah, so you're still kind of in that period where, I suppose a lot of people would still leave Ireland of your... kind of years are
absolutely yeah
so your generation is still people who are like coming to the UK or America or whatever
there would be yeah in fairness not I mean the lads that I went to college with there's not that many of them actually went abroad but a good few did in fairness but I'd say less than half though whereas previous decades it would have been a much higher percentage than that
so I'm a little bit older than you, and second generation Irish. But I remember Dublin and Ireland being pretty cool, still place compared to kind of what it had been in previous places. So yeah, it's a good place to be anyway.
Very cool place. It's the sort of place where Victoria Beckham will just run straight into you for no reason whatsoever. She's coming out of a restaurant, or you can go and have a pint with Brian Eno or whatever. You know what I mean?
So, what are you doing back in the 90s? Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. Well, I was lucky enough to get a job in. You've heard of this Irish band called U2, I presume.
I'm aware.
They're a bit underground, anyway. So they own a hotel in Dublin, and there's a club in it, nightclub. So I worked there for a while while I was at college. So you'd see all sorts in there.
Yeah, you would do, wouldn't you? So they're guests and just have a pint down there, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Very good.
I can't really tell you what happened because it's sworn to secrecy on a lot of these
things.
Well,
that's saying you can't remember.
Disclaimers. No, I was sober then.
So we'll play another song, right? Because so you picked one of my favourite songs, which reminds me of my kind of college years as well. So you picked Loaded. Primal Scream.
I did.
So just tell us a bit why, or just
Just because it I just remember it as being one of the songs that I'd play quite regularly in the common room in the college on the jukebox. You know, it was just one of the ones that I seemed to put on quite a bit, and a lot of my friends did too. You know,
yeah, me too.
So it just brings me back to those days.
Free. We want to be free to do what we want to do, and we want to get loaded, and we want to have a good time, and that's what we're gonna do.
Well, wait, baby, let's go.
We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna have a party.
Let's go!
want to be free to do what we want to do.
Seen them live on the screen?
I have, yeah.
They're great.
A good number of years back, like, but yeah, they were excellent.
So, yeah, we're here live on Sheffield Live with Connor.
Hello.
He's a current landlord of the Dog and Partridge Pub on Trippett Lane in Sheffield. We're going to get to that. We're still kind of more than halfway through the show. You've not left Ireland yet. But we've got to your 20s, and yeah. you stayed in Dublin for a bit.
When I finished in college, I was working in a bar called Reynard's on South Ann Street. It's South Frederick Street, sorry, South Frederick Street. My memory's escaping me there. Just off Nassau Street, anyway, near Grafton Street.
Yeah.
And so I was working there for a couple of years, and then I met a girl called Sarah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was a lovely wee girl, she was. Yeah. She wasn't from Dublin, though.
Right.
So, yeah, she had a very nice accent from Scotland. So so I met Sarah, and we fell in love very quickly.
Oh.
Yeah, very quickly. Head over heels. And then we got together quite quickly, and then that's
we're how still we, together, aren't you?
We are still together. We got married in 2003, yeah.
That's good.
My long-suffering wife, bless her.
So how did you meet?
We met in the bar where I worked, actually. Okay. She was working in a pub around the corner, and our place was open a bit later. So she rattled in with her colleagues one night and says, "Have you got any nuts?" and all the rest of it. You know?
Oh yeah,
and it won't go. I won't say any more than that. I don't embarrass her.
So she was working in bars as well, was it?
She'd come over and she was working at a pub called Kyo's.
That's more traditional one, isn't it?
Like, yes, it is. Yeah. It's just not far from Brookells.
Yeah,
McDade's, if you know those.
No, not really.
They're on South Ann Street, so that's sort of perpendicular. It runs off Grafton Street.
Yeah,
and then South Frederick Street, where I was another street over. Like,
yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So we fell madly in love, and we got our lives together, and we decided we wanted to move in together and all the rest of it. But of course, by this stage, the old Celtic Tiger had started.
Yeah, so Dublin's expensive.
And of course, I was very poor. Right. I was a poor, hard-working bartender, and couldn't afford the sort of rents they were looking for. So we started thinking, what the hell should we do?
Yeah.
So first thing we did was we thought, let's go to Scotland. Let's go to where you're from.
So this is where Sarah's from, yeah?
Yeah, she's from a place called Alva, which is just outside Stirling.
Yeah.
So sort of halfway between Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So we went over there, and we stayed there for, we were there for just over half a year or so. It's a gorgeous part of the world, but it was just a bit small.
A bit too quiet.
We're still vibing from the big city stuff,
yeah.
You know.
And you're still in your 20s or around that, aren't you?
I was 23, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
And so we thought, well, Sarah's mum was down in Sheffield at the time, so we thought, we'll come to Sheffield. Yeah, lucky, exactly, yeah. So we thought we'd come down to Sheffield, so here we are.
So you stayed ever
and
since?
We've never left, yeah. Sheffield's a great place. I find the people here so welcoming and friendly. They're just like being at home in Ireland, really. You know, it's the people here are fantastic, and I've never been made to feel anything other than very welcome in the city, so yeah, it's a great place. It's
fantastic, yeah. So were you living not with Sarah's mum for a bit, or did you get your own place?
For a little bit, until we got our own place, yeah. And we were renting flats and whatever else, and I was doing jobs and all the rest of it until I eventually worked in first place I worked in was the old Champs on Ecclesa Road, if people remember that one. The one with the old horseshoe bar. Dave Wickett's place, God rest his soul. So I worked there for a while and a few other places after that. And then I ended up working for one of the big pub companies. So I worked there as a GM in a couple of their sites around Sheffield for about a decade or so.
Wow, right, it's got a long time then. So
Yeah. But in the meantime, I got married to Sarah. We got married in 2003. So we were thinking, shall we do it in Sheffield? Shall we do it in Scotland? Shall we do it in Ireland? We'll do it in Sheffield, because then it can be like the meeting of the tribes.
Oh, so you got married in Sheffield, yeah.
So all my family and friends came over from Ireland, and all Sarah's came down from Scotland, and we had a massive big hoolie in Sheffield. So that was great fun.
I thought that was good. Where did you?
It was up at Meadowhead, actually.
What was the hotel?
It's changed names a few times.
It's a Hilton.
It's a Hilton now. It's not that now. It wasn't that.
I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. But big enough to get you all in.
It had a grand big ballroom. Yeah, it was exactly right. So anyway, yeah. So we got married in 2003,
What was your song? It was your wedding song.
It was "The Night Time Is the Right Time"
by Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin, exactly.
So let's play that one next.
You know the night time is the right time. Oh, to be with the one you love. Come on, baby, I wanna be with the one I love. Who I'm thinking of. I tell you, night time. Yeah, the right time. Oh, be with the one you love. Yes, me. You know my mother had no dime, and left a poor child crying. Squeeze me, yeah, just as tight as you can. I'll tell you that the night time, yeah, hey, the night time is the right time. I believe it is to be with the one you love. Oh!
Aretha Franklin there with Night Time Is the Right Time, which was our guest Connor's wedding.
That was our first dance, yeah.
First dance, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Did you have a routine set out?
No.
Did you
practice? No practice?
Very good. That's what I thought. I couldn't see you doing all that.
No.
But no, so what year was that again, sorry?
That was 2003.
Yeah. You'd been in Sheffield like a few years, about four years.
About 4 or 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, so you've been Sheffield 25 years, roughly, maybe more, just come to 26 years.
26, 27 years now, yeah, I think, yeah, thereabouts.
Yeah, so as you say, it's been good to you, but you've been good to Sheffield, I have to say. Oh. Particularly over the last 13 years now, is it? You've been at the...
12.
12 years at
the
Dog and Partridge, yeah, so yeah. You'd been working in Sheffield in various pubs, and then I suppose you and Sarah decided, right, you're ready to get your own place and get your own pub.
Time to take the plunge, yeah.
So exactly. Tell us how it happened to get the dog.
So, well, I mean, I was looking around, trying to find the right place, and obviously that involves quite a bit of market research.
Yeah, testing out pubs, yeah.
But anyway, so a pub came up on... with one of the companies anyway, so I thought, well, I'll go and have a look at it. And it wasn't the Dog and Partridge, it was another pub nearby.
Who said the name of it, Carl?
I can say the name. It was the Three Tons.
The Three Tons,
yeah. Gorgeous looking pub. Yeah, so we had a look at that, and the figures seemed just about sensible. So we thought, we'll take this a bit further. So we discussed it with the company and all the rest of it. And then we were about to sign, and then the guy who we were talking to from the company, he got a phone call saying that the Dog and Partridge had just come available.
Yeah.
And did I want to think about maybe having a look at that? So immediately I said, hell yes.
Because you knew the Dog and Partridge, you'd been frequenting the place.
Yeah. And obviously the reputation and all the rest of it, you know. So we thought, absolutely, let's have a look at that. So
yeah.
So we back to square one, did all the research again and went through all the numbers again and did all the stuff, and
yeah,
we decided we're going to have a go for it. Yeah, so we had a go. So we took it on. To be honest, it was a bit of a dead pub at the time. It had a very legendary landlady and family running it for many, many decades, and they'd left about three and a half years previous to this.
Yeah,
and it hadn't done anything since they'd moved out.
Yeah.
So it was basically starting from scratch again, really, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember those times. I mean, it was dead, wasn't it? Completely, kind of no one going in it at all. And it was, yeah, so you must have been, when you first started it, you were struggling really to get anyone in the place, I suppose.
It was a struggle, yeah, it was. We had, you know, I mean, there was one night we were myself and Sarah was giving me a hand this night as well. And we were working away, and it wasn't particularly, there was a few people around, but nothing much. And then this group of lads and lasses came in, and they said, oh, you're new to us. So I thought, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
What's happened? So they said, so it turned out they were some police officers on a staff do.
Okay.
On a night out from probably Snig Hill, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
And they said the last time they'd been in the pub, it had been because some customers had called them to come. Because the landlord was in with his bit on the side, and the landlady was in with her bit on the side, and they all had a big scrap over the pool table.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what they told us. But anyway, so basically, it was just a back to basics, really. Get the place clean, get it tidy, sort the beers out, and you know all that sort of thing, and then just slowly build it back, really.
Yeah,
you know.
Because, I mean, I'll just say to everyone, it's an absolutely thriving pub now. It seems to be always busy, doesn't it? You've got the outside on the street. You've done that really well. So it's like a European country, isn't it? There?
Kind of, yeah. We like to think of it as a sort of a modern twist on a traditional Irish pub, you know.
Yeah.
That's how we like to sort of think of it, you know, because the beers are quite modern, and we've got a great whiskey list and all that sort of thing.
And
as
you
well,
do food, you
know.
And
we do. It's all fresh homemade stuff, and you know, I think a spice bag. Have you ever had a spice bag?
I don't think so. No.
You need to spend more time in the dog.
I do. Yeah. But now, people who don't know the history of the pub, because you, I suppose you, feels like you've researched it and know the kind of, I mean, it's, I mean, it must be like 150 years old, is
no,
it?
No, it's older than that.
Yeah,
yeah. It's been serving beer since the... Oh, golly. I'm going to tell you the wrong number, so I'm not going to say now.
Yeah, but a long time.
It's the longest continuously serving pub in Sheffield.
Okay.
Yeah, there are older pubs, but they haven't been continuously serving.
Yeah, it's not always been open.
They've had change of use and whatever else. And, so, yeah, it's the longest continuously serving pub in Sheffield. You know, I mean, there's a rumour... Well, it's a bit more than a rumour that Eamon de Valera hid in the cellars of the pub.
Okay.
Funnily enough, when he got out of Lincoln Jail on his way to Liverpool Docks to get back home to Ireland, like before he became president.
So he came to the dog.
They reckon they hid him in the cellars in the pub. Yeah.
So the Irish community would have looked after him, and that was their pub. And
exactly.
So amazing history of the place, but yeah, I mean, so it was Mrs. Flynn was the landlady.
She was
started there in 1971, which was the year I was born. So she was there from 71 to 2010, was it?
I believe so. I think it was 2010, yeah.
So around that time, so she'd been there a long time
and
built up the custom, the musicians and everything. And they kind of all left at the same time she did, didn't she?
They did, yeah. The whole sort of business just moved a couple hundred yards up the road, to the grapes where they are now, which is... Yeah, I mean, in her situation, I'd have done exactly the same. I think she was dead right. You know, sounds like the company didn't treat her very well, and it was time to move on and do something else.
But I think it's a nice link having those pubs near each other. So it's like people will go in both, won't they?
Absolutely, yeah, of course.
And even down to Fagin's, they do the little triangle, and people go around, which I think it's good to have those kind of pubs in that vicinity, really. And it's away from the West Street madness, isn't it? And it's just
exactly,
nice,
100%.
Nice
yeah,
crowds in both.
Absolutely. And because one pub on its own is no good. It's, you know what I mean? You're isolated. Yeah. It's no good to anybody. And anybody who's been in the industry any time at all will tell you that you need to have a bit of a circuit. And the thing is, pubs like ours and the other two in the Triangle, you were talking about Fagin's and the Grapes, they're not like the pubs on the bars on West Street. It's a totally different vibe. It's a much more sort of... Well, it's a much more civilized vibe, if you like.
Definitely.
But it's more traditional, but not in a horrible sort of old smelly old way sort of thing either. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The pubs are all really well run. So what that means is there's a circuit there, so there's a reason for more people to come and move around all the pubs. It works for everybody. It's a fantastic way to have it.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you have the music on, so tell us a bit about
that. We do. We put some live music on from time to time. We have various sessions on as well through the month too, you know. Every Sunday night we do our sort of open session, if you like. So anything goes, if you like.
Okay.
Which is great fun. It's a brilliant night. We do a monthly Americana session. We do a bluegrass session once a month as well. And we often have musicians playing on Saturday, Sunday afternoons as well. Just on their own, playing some background music in the pub, and then we'll often have a gig on a Saturday night as well. So
it's great. It's great now, isn't it? But I'm just going back to the early days. You must have been at times when you're like, "What have I done?"
Oh, many sleepless nights. Yeah. I'd wake up with the sweats and the fear. Yeah.
So did you ever? Was it a 10-year like lease you'd got?
It was a 10-year lease. Yeah, it was 6 months old when I got it.
Right. Okay.
Because the fella before me, it didn't work out. So
just leave it at that.
Anyway, whatever happened. So 9.5 years. And then at the end of that, then it was up for renewal. So at that point, I was able to negotiate a free of tie agreement, which has made a world of difference to the business. Absolute world of difference. I'm not going to bore you with the ins and outs and the legalities of what a beer tie
don't
is. You'll all be asleep.
Well, we're running out of time, Conor. I can't believe it's gone so quick. And we've got time for one more song. So we're going to do Sharon Dredd's version, which features Jamie Burney, who's from the Celtic punk band. That I can't remember the name of at the moment. He's in the Celtic punk band Ferocious Dog.
Band as well.
Yeah,
fantastic band, Ferocious Dog.
So Sharon will play in the dog from time to time.
She does, yeah. She plays gigs from time to time, and she regularly comes to sessions and things. Yeah, she's a great friend, Sharon. Yeah, she's a lovely person, great musician, great entertainer as well.
Great singer, yeah.
She's wonderful, yeah.
So we'll play as much as we can of Old to My Family Cranberries, but you've chosen Sharon's version, which we sent to us as an exclusive. So thank you so much. It's been amazing. It's gone too quick.
Thanks for having me. It's been lovely, yeah.
Come back for part two.
to do to understand the things I say. Don't turn away from me, 'cause I spent half my life out there. You wouldn't disagree. Do you see me? Do you see? Do you like me? Do you like me standing there? Do you notice? Do you know? Do you see me? Do you see me? Does anyone care? Unhappiness was when I was young and we didn't give a damn, 'cause we were raised. Wasn't my design. And people everywhere think something better than I am. I miss you, I miss, 'cause I liked it, 'cause I liked it when I was out there. Do you notice?